Hallelujah to God. Luke chapter 2. Verse number 10 through 11. No, it's okay. I turn these off up here. Question is, why bother with Christmas? Every year, at certain times, this year later than others, I get this bah humbug thing that comes up for me. I get so distraught with all of the shopping and all of the traffic and all of the people standing in front of you when you're trying to get through the aisle. I kind of take my eyes off the real reason for this whole season. Our reason to bother with Christmas is simple. We celebrate Jesus. Can someone say amen? Luke chapter 10, verses 10 and 11 says, "But the angel said unto them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, and will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Amplified version, which I like to always put up there. "But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the town of David a Savior, who is Christ the Messiah, the Lord." Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and tell him Merry Christmas. You know, we're living in a time here in the United States of America when the whole idea of Christ, the whole idea of God, it's all been taken away from all of our holidays. There are people I know who work in retail who have been ordered by corporate offices not to say Merry Christmas. It always amazes me. I grew up in the Cold War era, and we studied a lot about Russia because we thought Russia was our enemy. Some people don't think they are anymore, but that's a political statement I won't make. Hallelujah. And I remember the communist countries had an atheistic approach. And someone asked me a question one time. It was a preacher posed a question, actually. It was a very good question. He said, if God doesn't exist, why are they so afraid of him? Yeah, people say, well, there is no God. There are no angels. Then why are you so afraid of him? If you don't think there's any God, you just let me worship him and stay out of my way, and we'll get along just fine. People talk about inclusion and diversity. Hallelujah. Be diverse. Let me say Merry Christmas. Christmas represents the beginning of all that Christ brought to mankind. Wrong button again. There we go. Love this technology. Christmas represents the beginning of all that Christ brought to mankind, including things like joy, hope for the future, peace, forgiveness of sin, and eternal life. But you might not know that by looking around us today. You know, it gets way too easy, it's just too easy, to get lost in the business of Christmas as a national holiday. And by the way, just as a point of interest, all you kids in school and all you, it is a holiday, a national holiday. And as such, you have right to say Merry Christmas, no matter what the school or your boss says. Okay? It's a national holiday. But we forget sometimes in all that busyness to take time to celebrate the real meeting. Why do we do it? Sometimes, even church activities can just add to an already crowded and hectic holiday schedule. We get so much to do. We all need, someone tell me what all means. It means all, every. We all need to pause. We all need to reflect and think about the real reason for this particular season. We need to remind ourselves. I want to challenge you. This is going to be a hard challenge because there's only a couple days left of Christmas. There's a lot of storms around, so it's hard to get out shopping. But I'm still going to challenge you with this. To spend just a few days, the next few days, left before Christmas, to think about the birth of Christ. If you're going to go to Walmart, that's okay, but take Jesus with you. If you're going to be buying things for the holiday, just keep Jesus in your heart and in your mind. Amen? Hallelujah. Find out what it means to you and to your family. And I've challenged you in the last couple of weeks to find out what Jesus means to you personally. I want you to think specifically this week about his birth. This is the beginning of everything. This is the beginning of everything we believe in. It's the beginning of everything that has saved us, sanctified us, and caused us to come to a place of being filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to think on a personal basis. I'm glad what happened 2,000 years ago. I know I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. I'm glad what happened 2,000 years ago, but what does this birthday mean to me today? What's it mean to my children? What's it mean to my grandchildren? And for us that are a little more mature, the great-grandchildren. What does it really mean? Is it just another holiday? Is it just a way for stores to make money? Or is there something more substantial to December 25th? Now, for all you purists slash legalists, I do know, I am convinced, Jesus was not born on December 25th. But I do not, or ever will, celebrate winter solstice. I'm celebrating the birth of Jesus. He was not born on that day, but he was born on a day. And it doesn't really matter whether it was August, September, or December. I'm going to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can say amen or oh my if you wish to. People make such a big deal of that. Okay, I agree. He was not born on the 25th. But will you agree? He was born. Hallelujah. What does his birth mean to you? Where you are now in him, what's that all mean to you? Ask yourself a question, if you will. What if he didn't come at all? Where would you be? You know where you are now, I hope. You know what Jesus has done for you, I hope. What if he didn't bother? What if there was no Christmas day? What if there was no manger? What if there was no Bethlehem? What if there were no angels in the sky? Where would you be? What would be going on? What would your life be like without him? Amen. I want us to try to not let the distractions of this time of year interfere with the real truth of Christ and his miraculous book. Birth. Hallelujah. Well, you know one of the problems with computers? You forget to use books. Hallelujah. We're going to look in the Bible today. I want to read with you the Christmas story. I want you to realize that the book of Luke gives us perhaps the most extensive and exhaustive account of the birth of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There's a lot of silly reasons that people give for this extensive writing. I'll talk about that in a moment. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, reading through. Have you got your place? I'm going to be reading out of King James. It's my preference. It's not my doctrine. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, reading down, says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Turn to the second chapter of Luke, if you will, reading verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was one of the house and the lineage of David. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that when they were there, the days were accomplished that they should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, And the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all that they heard and wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard, seen, and as it was told unto them. You know, for many of us, that's just a reading. For many of us, just a story. It takes a little time to read that, but you know, it's well worth reading it from time to time. Some people actually think these events had greater significance to Luke, thus more complete account. Some say that Luke's account was more explicit because he was a doctor, and he was more aware of the process of birth, and he was more intrigued by the virgin birth. That's a possibility. There are many theories offered for this one extensive account, but I think the scriptures gives us the reason in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. When Luke wrote his gospel, he started with the following, where it says, For as much as many have taken a hand to set forth in order a declaration of these things which were most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Within the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about John the Baptist, how John had a specific job to do. Thus he was saved from boiling oil. Thus he was saved from the island of Patmos, because he had a job to do to tell the people about Jesus. I believe that Luke was also ordained of God to bring forth a very specific, very scholarly, very accurate account of what had happened. If you read the other Gospels, you do not find this kind of accuracy. Luke was going for the intellect. He wanted people to know that this is not just a feeling, this is not just a fantasy, this actually happened. I'm a doctor, and I'm telling you, this is the way it went. Hallelujah. Some people read that salutation from Luke and say it's pride. No, it's an introduction of his credentials. God had a job for him to do, and he did it. Can someone say amen? Some have even went as far as to argue that the word he used as virgin has a different meaning, young girl. I want you to know and feel confident of this. I've checked it out, and you can go back and check it yourself. If you take a literal translation of the word from Koine Greek, it's virgin. Hallelujah. Luke, I keep saying Paul because Luke and Paul traveled together. Luke was accentuating the miraculous side of the birth of our Savior. Hallelujah. He wanted people to know this did not happen because two people got together and made a baby. This happened because God, as the angel said, sent the Holy Ghost upon Mary. Mary was a girl who'd never known a man. She'd never had sex. I can't make it any plainer than that. But the Bible said the Holy Ghost would come upon you, and inside your womb, Mary was impregnated by the Holy Ghost. Now, don't read nothing dirty into that. I'm here to tell you, the Holy Ghost still does miraculous things. The Holy Ghost came upon that woman, and she had a baby in her belly. The Holy Ghost has come on some of you in here and taken cancer out of your belly. God can put in. God can take away. He's still miraculous. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost said, and that holy thing inside you shall be called Jesus. Luke, focusing on the miraculous, begins describing a visitation by an angel. Now, if you lived in our day, there's a lot of people who would fall down and worship and say, oh, hallelujah, an angel came to see me. I want you to understand something about angels. They're big, they're powerful, they're mighty, but they're servants. They're messengers from God. If you're worshiping one, you're in trouble. Glory to God. I've seen in the Bible several times where men have fallen down to worship angels, and then you say, get up, because you're not supposed to be doing that. Amen. So if you're worshiping angels this Christmas, stop it. Worship the Savior who was born for us and died for us and is coming back again for us. The angel's announcement that Mary was favored of God probably caused some confusion in her young mind. You understand, Mary was just a little girl. Probably not more than 14, 15, maybe 16 years old. She was just young. Hallelujah. In Mary's world, it was unheard of to bless someone from such an obscure family. Mary came from a nobody. She was a nobody in the eyes of the world. See, in her culture, probably not much different than ours, they thought only certain special people got the blessing from God. They had to be people of wealth or people of fame or notoriety or position. And that was the proof of God's favor upon you. Here was this little girl who was a nobody. And the angel come and said, you are highly favored among in the face of God. That probably caused some confusion. Amen? Can you imagine if she went and told people about it? Here's this little girl knowing nothing from nothing, innocent, and an angel's telling her, you're favored from God. Hallelujah. The angel's description of Mary and the child she would bear must have confused her even more. Think about that, okay? Here comes an angel. Big, powerful, handsome. I don't know if he had wings or not. I see pictures with him with wings. I don't know about that. But she knew it was an angel. She knew it wasn't Uncle Ralph coming to visit her or the local preacher or rabbi. No, no. She knew it was an angel. There was something special about it. And she says, you're going to have a baby. Now, that was first shock. But then he told her who the baby was. Jesus, Savior, Son of God. Now, I know that today's generation is a little more sophisticated than Mary was. But I'll guarantee any of you 15 and 16-year-olds out there, if an angel shows up in your room and says you're having a baby from God, it's going to confuse y'all. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How could any human, much less a lowly young virgin like herself, give birth to a baby, much less the Son of God? But here, the next thing that Mary says, it just blesses my heart. You need to understand something. Things have changed from her day to ours and the way society views that type of thing. See, back in those days, you kept that hid. If it did happen, you didn't let nobody know. We're going to talk about rejection in just a moment. You didn't let anybody know. So here comes this angelic creature saying, I know you're not married, but you're going to have a baby. That probably just shocked the daylights out of her. But she looked at him. She said, how can that be? I've never slept with a man. But he said, but nevertheless, let it be done unto me according to God's will. You know, I got to tell you something, folks. If the church world could get that mentality that Mary had, Lord, I don't understand it. It's going to cause me some grief. I might not even like this whole thing, but whatever you want for me, here I am. Bring it on. Oh, for a church, the church world, that will look at God and say, bring it on, whatever you want. My God, how Holmesdale would change. My God, how our lives and schools and work. My God, how our families would change. Not to mention how the church would change. Hallelujah. As confusing, as scary as it was, Mary wanted God's will for her. Mary said, whatever you want, here I am. Glory to God. Now Luke tells of a census. Now, some of us have lived through census. You know, you get a thing in the mail, you fill it out. It wasn't that easy back in those days. In order to participate in the census, you had to travel back to the birthplace of your father and where your lineage was, okay? Now, you weren't going to jump in the back of the SUV and drive back home. They had to take this very pregnant 16-year-old girl, put her on the back of a donkey. She walked part of the way, rode part of the way. All those miles, all those hours. I won't say that. Some of you ladies know what it's like to be real pregnant. Okay? You know when it gets down to those last couple of weeks, oh my God, what have I done? Hallelujah. That's where this girl was. Now, has anybody here besides, well, Charlie's not here, myself and Charlie, ever ridden on a donkey? I got to tell you something. It is not comfortable. I rode on one in Bulgaria. It was not a comfortable ride. You got bounced and thrown around. And this girl was real, real pregnant. Bouncing around on the back of a donkey. Going through the desert. Oh, man, I'm telling you. Whew. And yet she says, whatever you want. The senses involved traveling to Joseph's family. That posed some problems for Joseph. I want to say, that, you know, we all look at Mary, the Virgin Mary. We venerate her. Some people do. But, you know, Joseph had a little something to do with this, too. And going back home posed some real problems for Joseph. In that culture, if a woman became pregnant by her pledged husband prior to the wedding, that husband was rejected by his family and dishonored. I want you to think about this. When Joseph got home and someone did the math and said, wait a minute, you've been together this long, you got a baby coming, this, someone's going to say, she must have been pregnant before you got married. His family would have dishonored him. His family would have disowned him. Hallelujah. But guess what? It didn't stop there. Because if the woman was pregnant by someone else, then the woman was rejected by the husband's family. Either way you look at it, they were facing rejection. They were facing rejection no matter what. Now, let me just throw a little something in here, a little side thought. When you say, God, whatever you want, here I am, you don't know what that means sometimes. I'm not so sure Mary totally understood what she said, but all these things that they were facing was the result of saying, God, whatever you want for me. That's what God's looking at from all of us. He wants that abandon that says, Lord, whatever you want for me. There may be some consequences. There may be some discomfort. There may be some things that happen that you won't like. And yet, this couple went willingly. They were following through on God's plan for their life. Don't raise your hand, but how many at one time, especially at the altar when you first get saved or shortly thereafter, you're all excited and the Holy Ghost will say, hey, Lord, whatever you want, here I am. And then you wake up and realize what you said. And God begins to take you up on your word. And he begins to change a few things and rearrange a few things. And some of the plans you had, God said, not that ain't going to do it that way. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know what was happening. I like to think about these things, the kind of mind I've got. But what was going through Joseph and Mary's mind? I mean, she had a real religious experience, a good religious experience with this angel. You know, if an angel comes to visit me and he wants something from me, I'll probably say the same as Mary, whatever you want. Hallelujah. But now the reality of that decision was settling in. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes we got to deal with reality. In spite of the lowly circumstances of this birth, not to mention the stable, the surroundings of the birth, all those, it was boldly announced by a throng of angels. Hallelujah. I got thinking about this. I of course, think about Christmas a lot. But putting this message together, I got thinking even deeper about Christmas. And I came across some thoughts and developed a few thoughts here. This announcement brought great reason to celebrate. Now, you got a stable thing. There's no room in the inn. You've had to travel for so long. You're facing the rejection of the family. What does God do? He sends angels. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know what they were going through. I'm sure a lot of hardship. I don't think there was shame, but there could have been. Rejection from family. God throws a party. God looks at this thing and says, you know what? This thing is so important because coming out of you, hallelujah, is a Savior. Coming out of you, coming out of your hardship, coming out of your decisions, coming out of all that rejection, I'm bringing forth in the world a Savior hallelujah, who will deliver all of us, mankind, from our bondage. Hallelujah. And if that wasn't enough, God says, you know what? He's always going to be called the Christ. Christ is the anointed Messiah promised throughout the Old Testament. This is not just any baby. This baby is going to set you free and keep you free through all of eternity. And if that's not enough, you're going to call him Lord. Not only for the Jews, that's a Greek word. Jews call him Yahweh. We're going to call him Lord. Hallelujah. God got excited about this. So excited, he got the angels together and let's have a party. Glory unto God. Oh, I got excited. Sorry you didn't. I find it interesting that God made sure. Listen to me. This was the coolest thing when this crossed my brain last night. My little brain can take just so many shocks, man. I got one last night. I find it very interesting that God made sure the shepherds would know how to find that baby. Now, I'm not just saying it was all for the shepherds, because there's more I want to say about that. But God made sure that the shepherds, now you got to understand something about shepherds, they were the low class. They were the rejects of society. No one wanted a shepherd at their dinner table. They weren't allowed. They had to go out and sleep with the sheep. Sometimes they were no account, sometimes they were thieves, and sometimes they were worse. They basically had the job. Did you ever see that thing on TV, the world's dirtiest jobs? Shepherds should have been one of them. Because in those days and in that time, this was the world's worst job. And of all people that God chose to announce this to, he chose the dregs of society, the ones who were rejected, the ones who needed him most. God showed up to the shepherds. He said, theirs is the Savior, the Lord. There is Yahweh. Didn't tell the king. Didn't tell the priests. Didn't tell the Levites. He told the shepherds sitting out in the field. Hallelujah. So you know what? If you've been rejected, you may feel like you're the dregs of society. God's got a special message for you. Hallelujah. On that blessed night, God wanted someone to celebrate with that little girl. Oh, hallelujah. This just excites me. God wanted someone there to celebrate with that little girl who was scared out of her mind, but willing to do God's will. He says, you're not going to go through this thing alone. You want my will. You've got my will. I'm going to send you my shepherds. I'm going to send you someone there. They'll say, glory, hallelujah, and have a party and celebrate all that you've been through. Now, let me tell you something. Let me just suggest this. That God himself will celebrate that kind of faith and loyalty. You see, sometimes God requires us to make decisions. God requires us to do things. And I don't know about you, David, but some things I've said yes to has caused me a lot of grief. Caused me a lot of personal pain. What have I done to myself? I know it's God's will. I'm just going to be honest with you. Can I do that? Can I give you a Christmas present and be honest? Doing God's will can be pretty difficult sometimes. You know why? Not because he's hard, but because I'm stubborn. My will and his don't always agree. And when get, by the way, if you've got that problem going on right now, give up. Don't fight. He's going to win. 30 years of following Christ, one thing I can guarantee you, he will win. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you make a decision for Christ, no matter what the consequences are, God will celebrate with you. He sent shepherds to Mary and Joseph. You see, if it wasn't for the shepherds, it just would be Mary, Joseph, the baby, and a bunch of animals. God said, let me send you some people. And send you the people who will really appreciate it. Hallelujah. God made sure that common, even rejected people of the society would be there to celebrate with Mary, with Joseph, and with our little Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in every society, listen close to this one. In every society, in every level of society, God has people who are willing to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you may be sitting here and you may think, or you may be on the lowest rung of the socioeconomic ladder, or you may be on the highest. God don't care about all that stuff. Okay? Don't care about the stuff. He wants someone who will celebrate the birth of his son, Jesus Christ. And the poor celebrate, he'll take the worship. If the rich celebrate, he'll take the worship. God wants everybody. He told the woman at the well. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. See, God seeks those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. He didn't say, I'm looking for churchgoers. He didn't say, I'm looking for tithers. He said, I'm looking for worshipers. Someone who will fall down in the midst of their rejection and the strange circumstances around that birth and worship me. Shepherds didn't bring no judgment. Didn't bring no theology. Didn't bring no doctrine. They brought a heart of worship. Hallelujah. God don't care about that stuff. Because Mary brought forth the one who would bring light, life, and salvation to all of our troubles. Oh, hallelujah to God. Remember I asked you earlier to think about what would happen if Jesus didn't come to earth? Oh, come on. You'd still have the same heartaches. You'd still be stuck in your sins. You'd still be stuck in those bad relationships. You'd be stuck in all that stuff that God... You know, sometimes we forget just what God has done. I really believe that from time to time... I will admit I came out of an Assemblies of God church. And one of the songs we used to sing, it was the dumbest little song, but it meant so much. It says, count your blessings, name them one by one. We were encouraged on a regular basis to stop and think, what has God done for me? Hallelujah. I want you to think about that when you're standing at the lines at Walmart in the next couple of days. I want you to think about that when you're fighting the traffic just trying to get to Walmart in the next couple of days. I really want you to think about it when this greedy spirit of the world takes over and says, oh, I can't afford to buy that great big present for so-and-so who might not like me if I don't buy them a great big present. I got to tell you something. That person's not going to like you anymore if you spend more money or less. Come on. If the friendship that you think you have with that person has a price tag on it, it's not worth having. Hallelujah. Why bother with Christmas? Because we celebrate the birth of mine and yours best friend. You got to understand something. I cannot do anything enough, anything at all, to make Jesus love me. I can't impress him with a new electronic toy. I can't impress him with a gift card or a special meal. All I can do is be me. See, that's the kind of relationships God wants us to have. The ones that don't have price tags on them. The ones that don't have to pay. You know, for some people, some relationships you got to have a big price, and the rest of them you just got to make payments the rest of your life. Now, y'all can deal with that. That's another message for another time. Jesus came into this world as a baby, fully experienced life as a human, just so he could be our friend, Savior, and Lord. Let me tell you, please, folks, this has got to be a personal thing. I would really like to see this Christmas be the most personal Christmas you've ever had with Jesus Christ. Jesus came. Lived, died, suffered, came back again for me. Now, you can make that statement. It's a generic statement. He died for all men. But you see, he did it for me. The day I realized, Brother Dave, that God just didn't send his son for the world. He sent it for George. My life, my world, they rocked my world. When I realized how personal. This is not just some pie in the sky, by and by. Some religious deity, something. No, I'm talking about personal. Jesus did this to be my friend. We get a little older, a little more mature. Christmas tends to lose some of its wonder and its magic. I don't know about you. I grew up in a very, I won't say lavish, but generous household. Christmas is a big deal in my house. Our living room was probably, I don't know, 15 by 15. There was only me and my sister. But when you got up on Christmas morning, you swear there was 30 kids in the house. By the number of presents that were in that room, you couldn't find the room. There was just enough room for mom and dad, me and my sister, to sit and open presents. And my poor dad shuttled the papers into the kitchen as we opened the boxes. Hallelujah. But I got to tell you, that was not my best Christmases. My best Christmases when someone came and told me why there was a Christmas. And it wasn't a matter of receiving. It was a matter of giving. I don't understand really how we got this thing. I think we've taken the three wise men and their gifts. I think we've mixed it up. Because now we want the gold, frankincense, myrrh.
Go to Jared's, men. That's what they say on TV.
I seen a TV last night. It says, some rocks are for this, some rocks are for this, and some rocks are forever. Talking about diamonds. Well, I tell you right now, my feet are on a rock. And I didn't have to get it at Jared's or Kay Jeweler. Amen? I got it at an altar when I bent my knee 30 years ago when Jesus Christ came into my life and taught me what Christmas is all about. He had been born for all the people of all the world up to that moment. But at that moment, he was born for me. And because he was born, I got born again. Hallelujah to God. We're so busy. We're so busy. We've seen too many times before. Did I dare tell you how many Christmases this is? This would be my 60th Christmas. Not bad for a 30-year-old guy, right? Okay, I'm not getting any older till Dave catches up to me. We made that agreement, or I made that statement anyway, on his birthday. We've seen so many Christmases. All the glitter after. I don't know about y'all. This year has been pretty good. But usually I get this bah humbug thing going on. My favorite Christmas carol becomes 'Tis the Season to Bah Humbug. This year's not so bad. Maybe I'm getting too old to care. But after a while, all that tinsel and all that stuff that's so great for the kids, by the way, it really is. After a while, that fades away. But I got to tell you something, when all the tinsel is dull, when the lights don't excite you anymore, and the glass balls don't do nothing for you no more, we still have the real reason, the birth of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I really don't care. I don't care that Constantine declared the 25th to be the birthday of Christ. I don't care. All I know is that one day, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ broke forth into this world. And because of that, the world's never been the same and never will be. Hallelujah. But we get caught up in the Christmas time, year after year, shopping, decorating, parties, family visits, Christmas services, holiday cheer. And God knows you can't escape commercialism. And let's not forget, though you may want to, the credit card bills that will show up next month and last forever. Oh, hallelujah. Christmas has become something that seems so much so not sacred. It's like we've lost the sacredness of the birth in that town in Bethlehem. We've lost the whole idea of the angels busting forth and praising and the shepherds coming and leaving their flocks. We've lost the majesty. I'm going to use a word here that Christians don't like. We've lost the magic of Christmas. The whole idea that God could take a virgin girl, put a baby in her belly, and bring forth that child born and laid in a manger. You know what a manger is? Where they feed the animals. Just laying there in swaddling clothes in a barn. My mom used to get mad at me when I wouldn't close her. What, are you born in a barn? No, but my Savior was. Jesus was born in that barn. But, you know, we've lost a lot of that. We've lost it trying to get the iPhone and the last of the Xboxes and for the little kids, the talking Elmos or whatever's popular this year. We've lost it all. So here's my question. Brother Jeff, could you play the piano for me? Here's my question. What is it? This is personal time. What is it that distracts you from the celebration of the birth of the Christ child? Now, I don't mean to come across anti-Christmas holiday. I know sometimes I get there preaching. Enjoy your Christmas tree. I got no problem with that. Enjoy the tinsel and the presents. Don't go into debt for them. Just have love. Hallelujah. And you know, and if Sears won't tell you Merry Christmas, tell the clerk of Sears Merry Christmas. I've started doing this. That thing got me when you sent it in the email. I find myself in the store. And you know what, Brother David French? It almost echoes. People look at me. Every time I get my change, I say, Merry Christmas. And they go, oh, thank you. Brother was telling me he works in a public place. He said Merry Christmas to a customer on the way. A third time, and says, you're the first one that said that to me this year. That's sad. That's sad. I wonder how many generations it'll be, how many years it'll be before Christ is totally removed away from his birthday. Hallelujah. What is it? What is it that distracts you from the celebration of the birth of Jesus? I'm not here to condemn. I really want this to be a holy Christmas this year. I want us to be drawn closer to Christ. Enjoy your family. Travel safely. I hear there's a snowstorm coming. For those who like white Christmases, I think you got it this year. Yay! For those of us who shovel and plow white Christmases, ooh. Yeah, it's money making for you, right? All right. Hallelujah. I want you to think this week. There's not much time left. Christmas is racing down on us. I want you to think about what Christ's presence on earth means and what his presence in your heart means to you. It wouldn't be hard to come to the conclusion that we live in a mean world. But with Christ, that world can be filled with love, understanding, peace, joy, goodwill towards men. That's why he came. It doesn't have to be mean. It can be good. And I'm going to ask you to celebrate this year his birth. I'm going to ask you to celebrate with joy. I'm going to ask you to celebrate with wonder. My prayer this Christmas is that we go back to when we were little kids and Christmas was so magical. It was so beautiful. I want us to think about Christ, have the holiest of Christmases. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will come to all people. For to you is born this day, in the town of David, a Savior, who is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. I know this happened historically over 2,000 years ago, but I'm here to tell you it can happen all over again for you today. Christ can be born all over again for you, in your heart, in your lives. I guess I can't help myself but make this remark that if Jesus comes to your house for Christmas, will you have room for him? Or you tell him to wait outside until the festivities are over? That's what they did. They were too busy. Room in the inn, gone. You can stay in the barn. We want you around, Jesus, but stay out in the backwoods. Let's not be that way this year. Can we do a couple of the Christmas carols, Organ? Just a couple. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Come on up, Sister Dolores. We got a special song for Christmas here. We're going to have these two sing their song. Where you are is fine. 2 feet. I'm sorry. Walk with me. Walk with me.